Scripture says that God our Savior desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But what is the truth? And how do we gain that knowledge? The answer to these questions and more in today's edition of Faith with Father. Living Bread Radio presents Faith with Father, a program aimed at teaching today's culture the truth about the Catholic faith. And now here's your host, Tim Perry.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of Faith with Father. I'm your host, Tim Perry, and with me today in studio is Father Greg Maturi, currently the pastor of St. Dominic's Parish in Youngstown. Welcome, Father.
Thanks for having me, Tim.
Great. Today we're going to continue our discussion from the UCAT, the Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church. We're in Part 3, Section 1, and today we're going to talk about free will and the ability to choose right from wrong. As we get started, Father, what must we allow a person to use his free will even when he decides in favor of evil?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So, you know, to allow, you know, I'm of the opinion that the doing of evil is not freedom. It's contrary to freedom. It's the polar opposite of freedom. That the doing of good is what freedom is. And I'll tell you why I think that. Because Jesus could not do evil. It was impossible for Jesus to do evil. And yet he is the perfectly free person, the free man, perfectly free man. So I think that to do evil, the ability to do evil is not freedom. Now the UCAT talks about conscience. I'm a Dominican, so I prefer to talk about virtue. I prefer to talk about the virtue of prudence. And where you see the word conscience, I think it's perhaps more fruitful to reflect on the virtue of prudence. Because what conscience is judgment. It's, to judge a situation and determine what's the right or wrong thing to do in a particular situation. And that requires formation. Consciences need to be formed. We need the teaching of the Catholic Church to form our consciences. We need the grace of the sacraments to strengthen our minds so that we can make good judgments. And we need the grace of the sacraments strengthens our will so that we can choose the good. But it's the problem with conscience is a well-formed conscience may know the right or wrong thing to do, and still the person be too weak to do it, the right thing.
So what is prudence when you say
prudence,
the virtue?
Very good. The virtue of prudence is not only the ability to know the right and wrong thing that one should do, but it's the ability to actually do it. And that's where prudence differs from conscience. Prudence is a virtue that is an interior disposition that strengthens our minds to know the right thing to do, to make the right judgment in any given circumstances, but it also strengthens our will so that we can actually do the right thing.
That's a good point. So prudence is it's like our conscience, which is, if it's well-formed, the ability to discern right from wrong, but it's actually the ability to follow through and actually do the right thing.
Sure, and the added notion to a virtue, like the virtue of prudence, is that the way virtues come about and grow is through repeated good action. In other words, as we do what is right in small things, as well as in big things, as we do what is right and practice doing what is right and strive to do what is right in all circumstances, then and as we come to know our faith more deeply by reading the Catechism, by reading Sacred Scripture, by going to Mass, by reading what the popes write, as we strive to learn our faith better, then the virtue of prudence is strengthened. And so that doing what is right and, you know, doing the right thing in any particular circumstance, we not only know what the right thing to do, but we're able to do it. And not only were we able to do it, but we're able to do it with facility and ease. The purpose of a virtue is to make doing good, which is the root of freedom, to do good with facility and ease. Because freedom is not simply the ability to do what is good. Freedom is the ability to do it wholeheartedly, with facility and ease, with no, not begrudgingly, but really with your whole person.
Sometimes, Father, when I make a bad choice, I allow my emotions or my passions to get in the way. Why did God give us passions or emotions?
Sure. That's an excellent question, Tim. The passions and emotions, they are given to us, and they're good. God gave us passions. God gave us emotions, and they are good things, and we need to exercise them. We do not squelch our passions and emotions. Rather, we need them strengthened. We need them full-bodied and acting at their full capacity in the moral life. The passions and emotions are very important in the moral life, and because they're the ones, the passions and emotions motivate us to do what's right in particular situations. And that's where the virtues come in. The virtues train our passions and emotions have to be trained. The virtues train our passions and emotions to always help us to do what is right.
And the Catechism said, in the depths of our hearts, man should always love good and hate evil.
Exactly. We should have a passionate, emotional love for the good, for what is good, and a passionate, emotional hatred, repugnance, disgust, repulsion for what is evil. And that's the role of the passions and emotions shaped by the virtues.
St. Augustine said, virtue is what one does passionately. Vice is what one cannot stop doing because of passion.
Ah, very good. See, the vice is when the passions and emotions are good. We need them full-bodied, but we need to train them because they can either work towards the good or they can work towards evil. If they're trained correctly by the virtues, for example, the virtue of courage, if it trains our passion for anger, if it trains our passion for anger, then it rightly, then it will help us to act virtuously. If our anger is not trained by the virtue of courage and the virtue of temperance, then what will happen is our anger will destroy us.
Blessed John Paul II said that Christians have a great help for the formation of conscience in the Church and her magisterium. So the Catholic Church can be a great help in not only helping us to form our conscience, and therefore we can choose what is right and wrong and also follow through and actually do it. Do good.
I would say not only a great help, an indispensable help, a necessary help. We need the teaching of the Catholic Church. It's not an optional extra in the life of virtue, in the moral life. We need to know why. Because we need, our intelligence is engaged in the moral life. And our intelligence requires content. It's not, faith is not just trust in God. Faith is actually knowing who God is, knowing who we are, knowing where we come from, knowing where we're going to. You know, there's a certain confidence that comes from knowing the truth. And the only way we can know the truth with certainty is through the teaching of the Catholic Church.
So how can a person tell whether his action is either good or bad?
Yeah, that's a good question. We talk, the Catechism talks about the morality of human acts. It talks about the object of the act, and it talks about the end or the intention, and it talks about the circumstances. And the Catechism talks about how all three of these things, the object, the chosen object of the act, the end or the intention of the act, and the circumstance of the action, all three have to be good in order for an action to be truly good. By object, we mean that which is the immediate end of whatever action. The end or the intention means the ultimate reason we are engaging in that, and then the circumstance of the action have to do, obviously, with the circumstances that we do it in. And as long as what we're choosing is good, and the reason that we're choosing it is good, and the circumstances are good, then it's a good action.
St. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is the Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So how does God help us to be free men?
Yeah, it's a, exactly. We're going to celebrate it this Sunday on Pentecost. Well, we'll celebrate it on Pentecost, that how God makes us free men. He gives us his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, by sending the Holy Spirit, the Blessed Trinity dwells within us, moving us. So God himself is moving us to do good work. And his movement is never does violence to us, always respects our free will, always respects human intelligence, and yet he's able to move our free will freely. He's able to move our human intelligence intelligently. And he does so from within, and we need that. Now, but God can only dwell in a soul in a state of grace. Thus, we need the grace of the sacraments. If God is going to dwell within us, if the Blessed Trinity is going to dwell within us and move us to good action.
That's why it's good to be in the habit of monthly confession and not only Mass on the holy days and Sundays, but also during the week, because we can receive that grace to help us. I know I need it so that I can be in the habit of thinking correctly, talking correctly, and acting correctly. I want to get in that habit because I realize that the more that I sin, the easier it becomes for me to continue to sin. And as you said earlier, to be truly free is to do the right thing. And when I'm not choosing God and I'm not doing the right thing, I am a slave to sin.
Yeah, the good point, excellent point, Tim. The Eucharist and the sacrament of confession are sacraments of freedom. They make us more free. Obviously, the sacrament of confession makes us more free because it frees us from sin, which destroys us, which limits our freedom, which makes us more, sin makes us more selfish. It makes us less capable of love. The sacrament of confession frees us from sin so that we can be truly free, so we can be unselfish, unloving. That no one is more enslaved than a selfish, unloving person.
That's a great point. And I realize the more that I sin, the more I think about me. And the more that we love, the more we think about God and think about others.
And then the Eucharist frees us because we enter into that purely unselfish act of love in which Christ died. His passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. We enter into it, and at Holy Communion we receive the real body and blood of Jesus Christ, and we become more like Jesus, who is the perfectly free man.
Well said, Father. You've been listening to Father Greg Maturi. Thank you, Father, for joining us. And this has been Tim Perry, your host, as we go through the UCAT, the Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church, Faith with Father. Until next time, may God bless you. Bye for now.
This has been Faith with Father, a production of Living Bread Radio in Canton, Ohio. For an audio archive of this program, log on to livingbreadradio.com and click on Faith with Father. If you have a question or comment about today's program, email us at askfather@livingbreadradio.com. And join us again next time for another edition of Faith with Father.